And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, if you would. And keeping in mind, we're always in the presence of God. You're never, forever, are going to be out of his presence. So you're always in his presence. How much here we are here and over there in Jerusalem, God's there, everywhere, in his fullness. There's not part of God missing. It's all his fullness. His fullness is always there. Always there, the fullness. You need to understand that. You're always in the fullness presence of God. Practice it. As we share together in the Spirit of God's ministry, and in Ephesians, we shared, we're practicing a little bit to understand it practically. And in Ephesians in chapter 5, you would remember, we're looking at what God says, verse 15, see then you walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Wherefore, since the days are evil, and we want to buy up the opportunity, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, and drunk wine, and we did all that, and looked at that, liquor, wine. What's the duty of mind, body, everything, affects everything in your body. And it has a high, and then it has a very low. So, drinking, and thus, what? And drugs, drinking. Don't be under the control of alcohol, drinking, drugs. Don't be under the control. Driving under the influence, drinking. Don't be walking with God under the influence of alcohol. In other words, you want to be, I'm not trying to find something in myself by adding something to see if it'll help my mind and heart and my thinking. No, don't be doing that. Don't be going, walking, living under the influence of alcohol. Don't be looking for something else to make up the problems, to fill in the gap, to make up the difference. Don't be doing that. Now, and on the contrary, where is excess? The word but, little conjunction, this time conjunctions tie things together. This conjunction has like an arrow, like shooting an arrow, but, phew, to the next, not the first part then. It isn't what you just read. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled, present tense. Keep on being filled by the Spirit of God. And God's going to do it. It's a command. It isn't a request. God tells you, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, in order to try to fill that out a little better in our mind, over to Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, you would remember, if I can, going to verse 22, and God hath put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, the body of believers, which is that body of believers, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And there's your word, full, full of the Spirit of God. So what are we saying? A, God saves us. And we have a unique relationship to God as your body, as you connected to your head. That'll help you. Here's all our gut and everything down here. Here's our body. And our body is totally at the mercy of the head with the brains, all the electronics going up there. Everything's going up there. Wow. There it goes. And without the head, can't do much. Can't do much without the head. And just as a sidelight, when I used to get 10 cents a chicken when I was a little boy up on the farm, the neighbor next door had chickens. And in the process, I got 10 cents to kill it, pluck it, clean it, and put it in the refrigerator. And she'd sell them. You know, I got 10 cents a chicken. But, and you pluck it, and you put it down. Now what happens when the chicken without a head starts running around? Now what do you do? Without the head, it's no good. You gotta have the head. Christ is the head. We're the body. The head is full of God and makes the body full of God. The fullness of the body complements the head. The head complements the body, the fullness of the whole body, head and body. The whole person of God is full. Where? In Christ, in the believing heart, that's full. Hang on to that. Now, and therefore, filleth all in all. Sliding over if I can. Verse 19. Chapter 3. And chapter 3, picking up, if I may, in verse 19. I'll read just a little context. Verse 18. May we be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That purpose, you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So all, not part of it, always all the fullness of God. So the body, the believing heart, is to enjoy God's wonderful presence in his fullness. And when the believing heart receives the Lord, when the heart receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God brings that fullness into the heart. When you received him, you received God, which is what you're driving home, 1 John. You receive God in his fullness. Fullness. Hang on to that. Now, and again, verse 19, passes knowledge that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Chapter 4. And what are we sitting here for? Chapter 4, verse 12. For the perfecting, completing, finishing, lacking nothing, making it complete, for the perfecting of the saints. That's why we're sitting here on the Lord's Day. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, which is what? Chapter 1 and verse 20, 23. Verse 13. What are we doing sitting here? Well, we're trying to grow and learn, and there's no graduation until God takes you home. So therefore, till, what are we sitting here for? And we sit here and we do it again and again and again, exercising God's word. Till, verse 13, chapter 4, we all come in the unity, oneness of the faith, the body of truth. We're believing in the God and believing God, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a full, complete, finished, unto the measure, how much, of the stature, growth, how much do we grow? The stature, we're growing and developing and enjoying the fullness of Christ. All that God was, is in Christ Jesus. He is in you in the believing heart. And the believing heart is to enjoy that fullness until he's finished. When is he going to finish? When he changes your body to be like his. That's what he's going to do. When I'm finished, you're going to be just like me. What are we going to do? We're going to enjoy the fullness of God now. Having said that little bit, therefore, fullness, filling moment by moment, victory moment by moment, as we go down the corridor of time, God's wonderful person in all of his fullness. And all that God does, and as he does it, is never less than God. Never less. Everything God does, when he does, as he does, is always in his fullness. In other words, all that God is, he always is to you. All that God is, he always is to you. He's never less than who he is. Never. Never. Now, got that a little bit. Exercise it again, if I can. And you will know, please, over if I can, to the Gospel of Mark. Just illustration, all kinds of ways. Gospel of Mark and chapter 6. And he's feeding. Remember, he's going to feed. He feeds. Oftentimes he does it. When the crowd's there, he demonstrates his ability to take care of every need as the need appears. So, and verse 37, well, I won't read that because it takes too long. I'll read verse 37. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 39. And he commanded them to make sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, the 2 fishes divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. They were all filled. God took the five biscuits and 2 fishes, and he gave them how much? So everything, everyone is that right. And let me finish that. And verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragrance and of the fishes. And they did eat, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men, plus women and children. So you get a grand total of over 15,000 people. He just did that. He has the 5 loaves, 12 disciples. and two fishes, and he did it. And when it was all done, when the baskets went, as you know, you took what you took. You happened to be hungry, and took four biscuits, and you looked and look. Here's the little baskets, but the baskets never empty. The baskets never empty, like the oil for the widow. You can take all the oil you want. It'll always be full. Always full. God is there in his fullness. Hang on. Now, and to tie that together, next door, chapter 8. And chapter 8, if I can, again. And you will note in chapter 8, keeping up if I can, and picking up pace in verse 18. Now I got to read verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see you not, and ears, hear you not. And do you not remember, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they say unto him, 12. Verse 20, and when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? God. So as you turn the pages and all kinds of illustrations, fullness. What God does, always in his fullness, never less than his fullness. And when he creates, throws all the stars into space, the galaxies, Genesis 1, it didn't touch his fullness. He's never reduced, never diminished, always full, always God. Now, having said that, lock that in. John, Gospel of John. And if I may, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, may I pick up the thought? You know what? Just I'm making it pop out. Have you look at it? John, you know this. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And there's your little word, F-U-L-L. Full of grace and truth. I'll read verse 5. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And verse 16. For and of his fullness, there's your word, have all we received grace for grace. Back up to verse 14. He's full of grace and truth. And in your heart, when you received him, John 1:12, as many as received him, John 1:16, and when you receive him as your Savior, of his fullness have all we received grace for grace, in place of grace, in place of grace, like the waves in the ocean, wave after wave, in place after grace, but never less than its fullness. Always from his fullness. Always from his fullness. But it never ends. So God, in your heart, as you learn to trust him, how am I going to trust him? That's the Spirit of God's ministry, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because he is going to go and make it all work. What does he have to work with? God's wonderful fullness. That's what he has to work with. And so he wants to say, why don't you just let me go, said Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God, command, present tense. So we're looking to God to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, and to lock that in better, over to the book of Acts. And in Acts, if I can, and you'll note, Acts chapter 1, and you will remember, be filled with the Spirit of God. So in Acts, the day of Pentecost, and the believers, the disciples, were filled with the Spirit of God, so that what? They could enjoy the fullness of God. They were filled with the Spirit of God to enjoy the fullness of God. That's why the fullness. Spirit of God to enjoy the fullness of God, all that God is. Now, having said that, in verse 5, but John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And you go to verse 8, and you should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be my witness, be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, sliding over, and chapter 2, day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, remember, full, filled, you keep looking at it, be filled with the Spirit of God. And fully, Pentecost was fully come, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other languages, tongues. Now remember what's happening on the day of Pentecost. Here they're coming from all over Europe and Africa, everywhere. It's the Pentecost. It's the feast. The Jews are all gathered. All kinds of dialects, all kinds of backgrounds. And the phenomena, what was it? Here they are in the upper room, and they come. And everyone in God's wonderful, you keep reading chapter 2. And everyone heard the greatness and wonderfulness of God in their own dialect, in their own language. And here are just ignorant fishermen and nobodies. And that's what they did. God did that. God did it. Yeah. Now, so, therefore, and everybody, now that's what I want to emphasize, chapter 4. In chapter 4, and in verse 8, here's Peter, and in chapter 4, context, then Peter, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, be filled with the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5, 18, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and then he speaks. Now, that's Peter. Well, said that they were apostles and they were there. No, everyone. God, because he fills the body. The body represents the head in its fullness, and the head represents the body in its fullness. So therefore, chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Why? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had something They had a reality that the Jews didn't have. Back over chapter 1, a little bit more context. Chapter 4. And as they, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, the Jews crucified him. And, verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now evening tide, etc. What are they doing? They're going to go, and they're all upset because here's ignorant fishermen having a reality of God that they did not have in all their knowledge of the Bible, the Old Testament. They didn't have it. So therefore, here they are having that knowledge. They're just ignorant people. And I think of reading and biographies and stuff, F.B. Meyer and different ones. And when you read, they're big people, preachers, big preachers. And they traveled and spoke around the world, different things. So therefore, one of those times, F.B. Myers was in the right place, and other men like it, just like it. Other men like that, bless their hearts. And they were speaking. And one of the people said, listen, you want to go to F.B. Meyer after the service. I want to take you out to the field. And out there taking care of some sheep is the shepherd out there. And I want to take you out to see him. And he took him out to see him. And F.B. Meyer sat there. And FBI listened. And that shepherd had what F.B. Meyer didn't. And F.B. Meyer changed his life. He had a reality. He had a reality that F.B. Meyer needed. And that shepherd had it. The shepherd was ahead of F.B. Meyer, who was very knowledgeable. Ah. And F.B. Meyer, his life changed, if I remember right. Now, we're looking, and looking at God. So here we are looking at chapter 4 and verse 13. And that's chapter 4, I should say, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Every believer is supposed to be enjoying the fullness of God by the Spirit of God, who goes and brings into, from head to toe, he brings into their being the reality of that fullness that they already have. Acts chapter 2 and Romans, John chapter 1, and in there. He brings to God, receive grace upon grace. God goes in his most wonderful way and saves in his most wonderful way. And so the task of the believer, and I'll read and I'll finish verse 31. Chapter 4, verse 31, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. God, in his wonderful grace, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry to make possible, to have them do a superhuman task beyond human ability by giving them what? Superhuman power. The Spirit of God is going to bring his fullness into it. And you remember, as we did that, it is not the the filling of the Spirit of God, it's not the baptism of the Spirit of God, it's not getting rid of your old nature and all the different things that people could say. It isn't that. The filling of the Spirit of God is to bring forth the fullness of the life of God in your heart so that you can enjoy. And John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in its fullness, full of life. That's what I want. Now, having said that little bit, and so remember, and we shared that, and I did it. I'll do it again because you need to see it. When I'm full, that's full of water. That's full of water. Now, if I dump that water out, it's full of air. If it doesn't got water, it has air. I dump the water out, it has air. It has one or the other. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, God pours in the water, using water, I shouldn't say that. When you want to get rid of the air, you pour in the water. That's what you do. That's the law. That's how you get rid of things. That's how you change them. You pour in the water, gets rid of the air. And the reason is, it's there. And the air's there, but it isn't there. Because the Spirit of God is filling the heart, and the old nature is there in the glass. But as long as you're filled with the Spirit of God, it's from top to bottom. He takes your driving, your being under the influence of the Spirit of God from top to bottom in the fullness of God, because it isn't chintzy, it's God's fullness from top to bottom. That's what you're to enjoy, God's wonderful fullness. Think of all the words you can count it. Remember John 15. Count it all joy. I'm going to give you in your fullness. I want you to have, better, I want you to have the fullness of joy. John 15. The fullness of joy. Not part of joy. Everything's full. Everything's full. That's what God does. That's God. How can you not? The hand of God of the surgeon that does one thing over here, the hand of the same surgeon is here to here to here, whatever he does. God is going to be whatever he is, who he is all the time, wherever he is. So therefore, you want to go and practice what? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, I'm looking at the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of, and you're free to do so. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, 5, 6, verse 6. And to do so. So as I look to God and trust God, and I'm going to abide and believe and rest in him, God does what he does and he wants. That's what, walk with God. Walk with him. So we're going to have and enjoy the fullness. It isn't a trick. It isn't a gimmick. It's for real. It's for real. That's how it is. And you have to hang on. We'll catch it if we can. I'd leave it there, but I'll knock it over. So that's what I do. So now, having said that, in the light of that, over to Romans. And chapter 8. And see it? We can. In chapter 8, I'm going to go to 7 just to pull in to get to chapter 8. Romans chapter 7. You know all of the God, Paul's. That's how Paul learned how to walk with God. God put him in a test out for a while out there in the desert or something, and did that. So that Paul had to learn not to trust his flesh. Because, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want the good, I want fullness, I want God, but I don't do it. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's my old nature. That's my old nature. And so therefore, verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. They're sliding down. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, my ox, ears, nose, throat, warring against the law of the mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the reality of looking and understanding. You've got your old nature, and then you've got God's wonderful fullness. And you're to exercise that relationship that you have to God as a child of God, and to enjoy the fullness of God, of the Father. That's what you're to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, chapter 8, because I think, where am I going to get the victory? Chapter 8, sliding in chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And therefore you go, up like in verse 25, chapter 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now back to 8:2 again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of God's he filled. He fills the heart. And when he fills the heart, he sets you free. That's free. And verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's right. Because the law can't do anything except tell you what's right and wrong. But it can't do anything for you. It's powerless. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be filled in us. Not by us doing it, but who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to all work the will of God in his wonderful way. What's the will of God? For you to be filled with the Spirit of God. For you to be full of God's wonderful fullness. To enjoy God in his fullness, in the totality of his wonderful presence. And you know, where you're looking at it in your mind, maybe, over to Galatians. Yeah, I'm saying it again in ways you know already. Galatians in chapter 5, and picking up, if I may, and you will note, Galatians 5. I'm going to slide over these all these little statements just quickly to catch them. Chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not, N-O-T, fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if the glass is full of water, then it can't be full of air. And if you're looking at the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is going to bring the life of God in its fullness into the heart. And therefore, the life of God has no problem with the law. The life of God gave the law. The life of God is the law. And therefore, verse 16, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the conflict, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And if you be led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. So we aren't trying to do anything. We're just trying to enjoy what? a relationship to God. And we let God fill us like the glass. We let God take over, and we thank God for his wonderful ministry. And the Spirit of God is going to do what he does as we abide and believe and rest in him. And therefore, and God the Father and God is going to do what he does because we have that unique relationship. And that unique relationship is going to show up. Chapter John 17. But confirming each time, locking it in. And what do you mean you're going to, it's there. That oneness, that unique fullness has to be there because God is going to be God. He fills the glass with water so that it isn't filled with air. So therefore, looking to go to chapter 17 of John, and you'll remember it, verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, a oneness, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that they also may be one in us. So here's the believing heart to enjoy that unique relationship to God in a oneness in its fullness, like John, like Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the head is full of God and the body is full of God. And therefore, verse 21 to 3, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, whole, in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. In a oneness. You say, what a... It's an awesome thing. Yes, it is. It is an awesome thing. Officer, and we don't, using an illustration in the mayor to remind you again, you do feel we have a unique oneness right now. You live inside your body, and you have a unique unity with it. Do you feel it? You feel it. So you can't. You're one with it. But actually, you aren't one. Because if you'd like follow the passed on, you pass on the body, the person goes and leaves the body. Yep. Leaves the body. So what are we doing, God? We're going to go and look to you in a most wonderful way. And you're going to go and be a witness to yourself. So as we enjoy God's wonderful presence with thanksgiving, etc., and we enjoy his wonderful abiding, dwelling in his fullness, in all of its fruitfulness. And therefore we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For, verse 13, it is God that worketh in us in his fullness. That's what we're doing. Where God's working out his wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God's going to do it according to the scriptures. That's why we're reading them. As we're reading, what are we doing? We're seeing this is what God is telling us. This is what God is saying in the light of the context and light of everything. And that's what he's saying. I want to understand our relationship to God. It's a full relationship to God, and we're to enjoy it in a full way, so that as we abide like the branch and dwell in the fullness of God, the fruitfulness of God, all of that takes place. And if you want, when doing it, hang on, go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, again, and chapter 1, verse 2, excuse me, chapter 2, And sliding over to verse 13. Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go. In fact, I got to go up so you see it. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So God has a wonderful plan in his fullness. And now God, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So as we're reading, we're looking for God to tell us all this, that if God didn't tell us, I have no idea about his fullness. I don't even know how to approach it. But he gives us his word, and it becomes rather obvious and clear and simple and real. Verse 10, God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And starting verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost is teaching us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And we're looking at God's word to understand God and his wonderful person in a most wonderful way. And so God, we're looking for you to help us as we walk by faith, walking in love, while we're in this body, in this world, that's what we're doing. And we're going to do so. And how are we going to do so, God? You're going to be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And God, now, and back over if I can, looking to God, leave us with something. Over to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans in chapter 8, picking up if I may, you remember the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry to fill you, to fill the heart, to be filled with under the control, under the influence of the Spirit of God. How am I going to be under the influence of the Spirit of God? By the Word of God. If I don't close the Bible, I could dream all kinds of things. But if I'm going to read the Bible and pay attention, and I'm serious, not just sloppy about it, I'm serious. So God, what are you saying? And so I read, as I read, what are you saying, God? I'm looking for God. I'm looking to God, letting God's word guide me in my thinking. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, like you just read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, as you turn the pages of the Bible, that's how God is going to help you understand. The Spirit of God is going to take the scriptures and help us understand. So as I do that, I'm reading verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also shall help with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I don't understand, oh. No, I don't. But the Spirit of God does. And we're to enjoy this God's wonderful fullness. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, which groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for our saints according to the will of God. And the Spirit of God's going to go in my heart, your heart, if I'm going to trust him. And he's outworking the will of God. I'm to work out my own salvation that I understand. I read and trust and pray and thank you. And the Spirit of God makes up the difference. That's his ministry, to bring all of the benefits of God's wonderful saving grace to the fullness, in its fullness to my heart, so that I can enjoy God in the midst of it all. I got to quit. It isn't hard. Give God credit. He really is. There should be some great theological way to understand that. There is. It is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God, now let's see this deep, pretty. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6. He is. Four letters. Isn't that deep? He is. Must have been a profound thing. He just is. Got to think about it. Isn't it good it wasn't six letters? Just four letters. He said, I am who I am. How's that? Deuteronomy chapter 6. I am that I am. Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. Do you believe that I am who I am? That's what he says to the men. People that get saved, they get their eyesight back, you get all kinds of things. Do you really believe I am who I am? Yeah. That's what I want you to do. I am. And you learn to do it. I got to quit. Thank you for that. Thank you for your kindness.